Hey there, powerful soul. Welcome to Volume 2 of the Grow Through It podcast. I'm your host, Cassandra Austin McDonald. Here on the Grow Through It podcast, I share personal stories and the stories of others as we are growing through the journey of creating the life, love, and legacy of our dreams our way. Tune in as you may feel inspired to evolve into the best version of yourself. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode here on the Grow Through It podcast. I'm your host, Cassandra Austin McDonald. And today I have a very special guest with me, Miss Malisi Crawford of The Queen Code. Welcome, Malisi.
Welcome. Peace, Queen.
How are you? Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm well.
So you all know I love to share how I know a guest, and Malisi was actually a mentor and a coach of mine in 2016. She's a big reason that I had the courage to leap into my own purpose and calling. And so this is a really special treat for you all to hear this conversation, and I'm really honored that she's here. So thank you so much for taking the time to be here.
Yeah, and I really enjoy working with you. I cannot believe it's been, oh my gosh, that long. So what, almost 7-8 years?
Yeah. Because the mister and I weren't even engaged yet when you and I were working together. So that was,
that's right.
Oh my, whoa, this is way back.
Yeah, way back.
Oh my gosh. Well, you all, Malisi is the CEO and founder of The Queen Code, a company that's dedicated to helping women rediscover their feminine power, sovereignty, and divine purpose. Malisi is an international influencer whose message of awakening the divine feminine has transformed the lives of over 2 million globally in 35 countries. As a sought-after speaker, she specializes in teaching ancient wisdom principles and the journey of women in antiquity are her story. She passionately shares her perspective that the sacred feminine is the missing link to restore our society today. As a high priestess and master teacher, Malisi facilitates sacred healing events and retreats. For over 20 years, she has personally mentored thousands of women, including myself, in the art of reconnecting to their divine feminine goddess energy. With a pageant career that has spanned a decade and 40 competitions, Malisi has held dozens of state and national titles and crowns. She has also won prestigious awards for her work as a mentor, entrepreneur, and woman in leadership. She is the author From Good to Great and Unlocking the Queen Code Divine Keys to Reclaiming Your Throne. Welcome again, Malisi. Thank you for being here.
Yes, I'm so excited to have this conversation.
Me too. So let's just jump right in, because whenever someone shares that their work is about supporting women, guiding women to reconnect with themselves in this deep, sacred way, I know it began with you. And so I'd love if you would share just a little bit about what this journey for you looked like of stepping into your calling.
Yeah. So for me, it started, oh man, like as far back as I can remember, which is about the age of 3. I've always loved to learn, and I've always been I was a very curious child. And I can remember like teaching myself to read, and I would just read anything that I could get my hands on. And it started happening around the age of 16. I was working backstage helping a friend of mine at a beauty pageant, and I was helping her backstage. And when she would go on stage, I would go out in the audience and watch her, and just seeing her up on stage, and she would often win. And seeing her with that crown on, something, my soul recognized something in that moment. And I knew that that's what I wanted to do, that I wanted to be on stage, the lights, the ability to have a platform that I could speak on. Because a lot of pageants are really about community awareness and platforms. And so It was at the age of 16 that I began to pair my love for learning with wanting to speak and empower. And I also had a huge passion for history. And it started for me with researching Black history. And from researching Black history in America, I wanted to know more. And so I just kept going back and back and back. And I found my way all the way back to Africa. And then I found my way back to ancient Egypt, which of course is in northern Africa, and the ancient queens of that era, the ancient queens of Nubia. And from there, I also found the high priestesses. And that's where I really felt like I found myself. And so from studying ancient women, the women leaders of antiquity, the goddesses, the high priestesses, the queens, and just always being drawn to leadership and speaking, that's how all of this came to be.
Wow, that is so powerful. And I love how you really paint this picture of our soul knows. You know, when we're kids, we can reflect back and we can remember parts about ourselves that start to tie into our calling. And so, how for you did this start to connect with you connecting with your own inner feminine?
Yeah, so it's really interesting because even though it started with pageantry and discovering that there were women that looked like myself, dark skin, high cheekbones, kinky hair, that were also not just royalty, but divinely so, divine royalty. That was a part of it. Understanding and seeing and reading the stories of those sacred women, that was certainly a part of it. But what was really interesting is, even though I had this awareness of divine feminine on a goddess level, I still, in many ways, would reject feminine energy.
Tell me more about that.
Yeah. So I was a reigning queen many times over, always, dressed up and looked feminine on the outside. But there was a part of me inside that saw feminine also as possibly being weak. And so, even though I had this feminine presence on the outside, I really inwardly rejected a lot of things feminine. And it wasn't until after I graduated from college and I began to dig deeper into the healing arts, that's when I really began to open up more to my feminine side. So, it wasn't just about reading about it, it wasn't about just about looking the part. But it's when I really begin to understand what the feminine principle is. Oftentimes we think of feminine as like prissy and soft and lacy. And feminine is a principle. It's the inner thing. It's the wisdom part. It's the knowing. It's the who in the equation. And so when I begin to draw within and wanted to know more, like, why am I really here? That's when I begin to meet with the sacred feminine.
Oh, this is so good. I love that you mentioned the piece about the perception you had of the feminine, because I find most of us who've gone down that path had that perception from conditioning and being conditioned, almost brainwashed, if you will, to not do that introspection, self-reflection work to discover that for ourselves, because there's so much power in that when we discover that. And did you notice that when you kind of let go of this conditioning of it's weak to tap into your femininity, and when you actually did tap into that innate power, like you're like, hold on, there's some power up in here.
Yeah, I mean, and it was scary at first. And what I find interesting is that I wasn't prepared for the attack sometimes that can come on the other side of that. I thought that healing meant like, okay, I'm going to heal and then things are going to just be instantly better and better and better and better. And when I began to really accept and receive the divine feminine, and the feminine is she's full bodied. It's the whole spectrum. It's soft and fierce. It's everything in between. And the divine feminine, as I understand her, she's the womb and the tomb. She's the complete circle of life. So she contains all things. And so as I'm really beginning to receive the power of the feminine, yes, I became more powerful, but to some people around me, I also became more of a threat. And so then you start to go down and have the experience of meeting with the dark feminine, which is oftentimes what we don't want to do. We want to stay love and light.
Listen, see, now we about to get on a tangent. I love it. It's these conversations are important though, because I have been irritated, if you will, about this trend and this, I call it faux femininity, this image that has been perpetuated on these internet streets about what femininity looks like. And it irritates me because for those of us who have really done the work, we know that that's not what it is, but also it sends a message to the very women who need to do this work that may reject it for the reason you just said, thinking it's thinking it has this image. And what I found beautiful about tapping into it for myself was finding out that there is this dark, there is this fierceness, and I get to embrace that. But it's not until we're in those moments of looking at our own shadows and looking at our own wounds that we start to realize that that part is necessary to navigate those dark seasons. And so I'd love just to hear from you about what it looks like to for you and your work to navigate this blend, if you will, like uniting the dark and the light, uniting the fierce and the feminine. Like, what does it look like to integrate all of this together?
Well, for me, I first had to make space. And so what it looks like is to actually integrate these two together. My life has more space than ever before because it's a challenge integrating these two parts, as you said, in a society that has a set way that it views the feminine and the masculine. And so I had to create space in order to understand what that unique blend was all about. And so for me, it literally is being able to show up in the moment and own the present moment. And also making friends with grief.
Oh, that's so good.
And for a very long time, I thought that rebirth was about overcoming, like overcoming was so sexy. I'm gonna overcome. I'm gonna, you know. And when I really started embracing the divine feminine, and everything in my life took off because I really began to understand what magnetism really means, and the fact that we are magnets, and how to attract and how to use the law of love to attract. And I mean, everything took off. I mean, I went from having a small following to millions of followers. And again, when this started happening and the attacks came, that's when I began to realize that rebirth or grieving can also be a path to rebirth. It's not just about this love and light, but grieving became an effective tool for rebirth. And what seemed like such a horrible thing to go through at first really was an activator to pull up a whole bunch of childhood trauma that I just couldn't access because I was winning all the time. So
Girl.
because I was winning all the time. So what it looks like on a day-to-day basis for me to embrace the soft and the fierce is literally just to leave space for her. She already knows what to do. You just have to leave space for her and to show up in the moment, the present moment.
Oh my gosh. This is such, I love this conversation, and we're only 15 minutes in. It's so good. There's so many things I want to touch on. The part where you talked about the attacks. Oh my gosh, like when you said that, I could feel this wrench in my heart because I know what that feels like. And I've had conversations with so many women who are afraid to either be more bold in their leadership, to express themselves in their relationships, to stand on their standards and enforce boundaries because of this fear of the attack. And there's this fear of either they can't hold themselves, or they're going to lose people, or they're going to be misunderstood, or they're going to be labeled too much. And all of these fears have really held them back in a way. What for you, what has it been like to navigate those attacks and still, because you're here, you're still here, we're having this conversation, you have your platform. Like, what does it look like to walk through that fear? Almost like I like to say, walking with the duality of fear and faith. It's like the fear doesn't go away, we just walk with it. For you, what has this been like?
Well, definitely facing the fear and and understanding where it comes from. And so you touched on a few really important points. So the fear of abandonment, the fear of rejection, right? And so for me, I had to go all the way back to the beginning and to heal that piece and understand where the abandonment and the rejection came from. And so from doing that inner work, I don't fear abandonment or rejection anymore. And a part of that really was connecting back to the divine feminine on a much, much deeper level. And from that, what I realized that's really important is I had to redefine love. And I now, because we talk about self-love all the time. Love yourself, love yourself, love yourself. But in order for me to anchor myself and move past the fear of rejection, move past the fear of abandonment, move past the attacks. And really what it is oftentimes in our society, a woman is often punished for shining her light and being great. And so in order for me to move past that, I'll never forget, I had this really, really dark moment and I almost gave up, to put it lightly. And I just remember just that still small voice just coming in and saying, it's going to be okay. I got you. And from that moment, I came up with this saying that divine love saved me and wisdom trained me. So in that space of knowing how to get beyond the fear, and I don't want to, go off on too many tangents, but I will say here, we say that the opposite of fear is love, right? So then in order to navigate beyond the fear, I need love. But then what is love? And so when I really began to make connection with divine love, it saved me. And now the way I see love is five different, keys to love: to be seen, to be heard, to be understood, to be held, and to be protected. When those five key things are there, that's love. And so I first had to realize that on a divine level, the divine sees me, the divine hears me, the divine understands me, holds me, and protects me. So if the divine does that, and then from that knowing and awareness, I begin to teach myself how to do that for myself, to see myself, hear myself, understand myself, hold myself, and protect myself. When those two key pieces were in place, you don't care about who's going to leave you or reject you.
Oh my gosh, that is so true. That is so true because it turns into this innate knowing. It's like a knowing.
And then what starts to happen, because when you really begin to love yourself and know that you're worthy, it changes your point of attraction. So now, not only do you have this amazing relationship with the divine and this amazing relationship with yourself, but now you begin to attract people in your life who are willing to honor that level of love and respect you have for yourself. And so I think for me, moving beyond the fear of abandonment and rejection was about knowing that I've never been alone anyway.
Oh,
And
that.
oftentimes, the people that we want the validation for, like, are they really worth you living a reduced version of yourself?
And I've found they often never had it to give anyway. And a lot of times we see people through our own lens and we don't realize it until we're on the other side. We're like, oh, I was seeing you through my filter of love because that's how I see the world. Oh my gosh, I want to go into this process of what it looks like to for a woman to stay committed to this journey when things are shifting and staying anchored in that knowing, because what I have found is it feels easy to do this work when, like you said, I'm winning. When you're winning, it's like, oh yeah, this is easy peasy, but it's when the seasons are changing, when life is shifting directions, when things are moving to activate us, as you said. For you, what does this look like to stay anchored and connected to that inner knowing that I'm never alone? I don't have to fear rejection or abandonment because I'm never alone, and staying committed.
Well, I redesigned my life with lots of stillness and space. That's key. If I can have many moments, at least several moments throughout the day, where I can meditate, where I can pray, when I can get into the mode of stillness, that's all I need to remember. Because you get to a particular place on this path where, I say all the time, there are only but so many lessons in life that you can learn. And you get to a place where you start to realize you're just learning the same lessons at higher and higher elevations.
Very
And
true.
so if you can just create space for stillness, then you can remember. Because as long as you can remember and stay connected, then you can navigate anything.
Yeah, that is so true. And I love what you said about being intentional about creating that space because here in the Western world, as I like to say, we're so conditioned just by the lifestyle that it's honorable to be busy. It's honorable to be quote unquote productive. And the lifestyle that you're talking about is contradictory to the narrative that's been projected and perpetuated for most of our lives. And so, for you, was this a lifestyle that you've cultivated over the years?
Absolutely. It started probably about 10 years ago when I started to let go. Yeah, it was like 2013. It's the year that I got pregnant with my daughter. And I really began to cultivate just this stillness piece and understanding, because I've been a hustle grinder all my life. And it's just not it anymore.
Not
You know what I
just
mean? Like
not at all.
it's not it. And I knew that I needed something, especially after I had my daughter. I had really bad postpartum depression, and I was just dealing with all types of mental health issues. And even if I wanted to go back to hustle and grinding, that door was closed. Like there, literally, there's nothing for me back there in hustle grind territory but sickness and death. I mean, I literally had worked myself to the point of exhaustion and burnout. And it was at that place where I just had to surrender. And what's really interesting is when you receive the divine feminine, it gets you into divine order. The order of manifestation is be, do, have. And so you talked about living in a society where it's glorified with the hustle and grind, but we're oftentimes manifesting without any awareness of who we are in the equation. So the being is the feminine, the doing is the masculine. You need both of those principles to properly manifest. So when you look at be, the be is like the who you are. The divine feminine is a principle that's only concerned with who you are. You go to the feminine to understand your identity. That's the reason why thousands of years ago, when destructive patriarchy took her out of the equation, that's the reason why you have a race of humans with amnesia that don't know who they are.
That, and it almost sounds intentional because when we are connected to that innate power that lives in all of us, now we're looking at a different world. We're not
Yes,
looking at a
ma'am.
hustle grind world. We're not looking at all the hot mess express that's been going on for centuries. And I think that's part of what the powers that be probably fear the most is those of us who are called to not only rise in that, but to show other women how to do it for themselves and then hold that sovereignty in their relationships. I call it our sacred unions, learning how to be in union with their masculine partners, what it looks like to create a new world. Is that part of your vision to see a new world being created?
Absolutely. Oh, we can talk about that all day. And I think that's because that's the only reason why we're doing this, right? Like the divine feminine is re-emerging because there's a new world that's re-emerging. And I always say it's not about going from one extreme to the next. Like we've just been so masculine, just aggressively so. So we can't shift the poles all the way back to being so feminine. It is an integration. It's a beautiful marriage of the masculine and feminine principles within us, as well as in the world. And to me, like you're talking about creating the world you want to see, I believe that's how heaven gets to earth. We need the feminine because the feminine is the inner principle. The masculine deals with the outer. And when you have both of those pieces together, you can create limitless things. And so for me, like my life now is really interesting because I've pulled away from a lot of different things. I'm still on social. And sometimes people say, well, I can't find you. Well, because my life is so different now, I'm just starting to reintegrate myself back into society. And I'm doing it slowly because I don't want anybody painting on my canvas. But at the same time, it's maintaining that sovereignty.
Yes.
In the middle of all the mess, right?
Oh my goodness, this is so good. That, and I feel what you're describing here is such a delicate process because it requires so much presence and intentionality with integrating back into sharing your work with the world and doing it in a way that feels aligned for you and honoring yourself at the same time, because those internet streets can be like a almost like a vacuum. It could suck you in if you're not mindful and intentional and present and aware.
Yeah. And that's the reason why I know for a fact I will be doing more things coming up. You know, I'm having an event coming up. I'm starting to do events again. But it'll things will never be like it was before.
Yeah.
Because I gave myself the space and opportunity to be anchored in this transformation.
It's so powerful because a lot of times people feel rushed to get the result.
Yeah.
And they miss what happens while you're in the process. And it's in the process where the beauty unfolds.
And so everything just feels different now. And I'm only going to just keep going in this direction. There's so much more that I still have to learn from the divine feminine. I commune with her daily.
Yeah.
And there's just so much more. And the new wave is about the new world that we can create when we begin to put the who back into the equation. And so when you talk about the hustle grind, it's because we're so then in the equation of manifestation, be, do, have, the who and the be is the feminine, right? The how and the do is the masculine. So we have a society that really just want to pursue the how.
Yes.
And they only want to know the how.
Yes.
Because the how is concrete. The how is often tangible. And we often fear the intangible because there's a faith process that's required. To embrace the who. And it's
there's
sometimes
no control.
It can feel elusive. No control. There it is.
You can't control the feminine.
You cannot. She just will not be controlled.
No. And I'll tell you, and for the listeners, just to get some insight on what my process was like, because Malisi, I feel you are the one that really introduced me to this sacred work. I have been on my own trauma healing journey for a long time in terms of healing my human, as I call it, but going into the spiritual element of connecting with this divine sacred part of myself, it was really the work you and I did together. And I remember I had some resistance because I was so in the masculine and I had no idea I was, because I was just normal. And so you could be so in this way of being that it's so normalized for you that you don't even realize that that's actually not normal until there's mayhem, which is what led me to you. Is I was sabotaging my relationship with the mister. I was burning out at work. I was not stepping into faith. I was allowing fear to sabotage me from, at the time, releasing my book and putting myself out there. And the way that you guided me, I just remember it was really gentle and it was very almost like a guide, you know? And for me, I never forgot those experiences with you, because with that, I was able to embark on my own path, but also only a person who's done the work for themselves could guide someone in the way that you guided me. So this is my public thank you.
Oh, you are so welcome.
for that, because I'll tell you, if it weren't for the work you and I did, I don't even know if I'd be the woman I am or if I'd be here doing the work I've been doing these last several years, because I was definitely on the sabotage bus for sure.
Wow. Yeah. Well, you're very welcome. And I still remember the day you signed up. I still remember our calls. And like I said to you earlier, I always saw you becoming this woman. And so it was an honor to hold space for that because I saw it.
Wow. And I would love to touch on, I know you said that you have an event coming up, and like for you, what does this mean to be a leader in this work? Because something that I have been noticing in the work you and I do and in this industry is there's a lot of people struggling with trusting other people right now, because there's people who got into this work for the wrong reasons. And then there's people like you and I who are here knowing this is our calling. Like for you, what is it like this? What does this mean to you to hold space for another woman in this way?
Especially coming off of this cycle of meeting with the dark feminine, it's really sacred and special now because I feel like I have more depth, like there's more depth to my work now. And the women that usually attend my events, they do trust me. They've been on my Facebook page. I've had my Facebook page now for about 10 years. Some of them have been with me as long as you have, or even the ones that just started, there's that divine connection there. And so holding this space now is just more important than ever because, yeah, the market is super saturated. And my goodness, social media is just such a performative culture. And sometimes you don't even know what's real anymore. And so at my events, not only am I holding space, but we do the work.
Listen.
and you leave with an actual blueprint. Like this is not just like light, oh, we're just gonna have some hors d'oeuvres and look cute. Like we are literally going to do the work and you leave with the blueprint for how you can actually implement these things into your life. And so I'm honored to do what I do and to have been doing it for so long and to be at this, I guess for lack of a better word, like rebranding, where I'm seeing my entire work clearer. And even though this market is highly saturated, I feel like what I have can just really elevate things because it's really touching at the core elements and the core keys, as you said, that a woman wouldn't be able to talk about unless she's done the work. And I think that that's the differentiator between us and a lot of the people that you see now is that you can tell when a person has really done the work.
Oh my gosh, yes. I felt it was important to just even mention that, because I feel a lot of people sometimes need to hear, how serious some of us take this work, but also that we do see it as a sacred honoring. And I know for myself, I don't take it lightly when a woman feels safe to open up her heart and her soul. And because I know what it's like to have been in the hot seat, if you will, to bare your heart and soul and to share these things. And I know one thing that I love about your work is your ability to break down complex matters and simplify it. And something I always learned from you that I always remembered, I was sharing with you this with you the other day when we connected, was how you talk about nature and the way that our human experiences model the way that nature is. And I know that we've just entered the fall season. What does this time of the year represent for you in terms of this type of inner work we've been talking about?
Oh man, the beauty of letting go. The beauty of letting go and just the cooling off period. And usually fall and winter, especially fall. So fall is a season where you begin to ease into self-reflection. And then winter, you're there, the self-reflection, the preparation for the coming new year. And so even as I was driving my daughter home from school today, and like the trees are already starting to turn here and the leaves are coming off the trees. And it's such a sacred time. especially for divine feminine women. It's such a sacred time because, as they say, nature is showing us how beautiful it can be just to simply let go.
Yes, I was just telling a client earlier today to purge and declutter. And so when you said that, I was like, oh my, and I wasn't even connecting the time of the year. It's just an intuitive thing that came up. But I love how we can really look at nature, if even if we ever get lost, you know, on the path of just observing the season we're in and connecting with what does that represent for you in your life.
Absolutely. I mean, seasons are beautiful. I mean, the seasons remind us that nothing, that everything's necessary, right? It's all necessary. You have to go through those periods of loss. And then you have to go through those periods where you're planting new seeds so you can harvest something later. It's all necessary. But I will say this, though, even though I still honor the seasons, I'm at a place in my life now where I'm building in such a way that I don't mind renovating sometimes, but I'm now building a life that I don't have to keep bouncing back from.
That listen, that's it right there. Steadiness.
And so I think for me, it was releasing all that childhood trauma, which oftentimes the trauma creates subconscious programs that causes you to behave in ways that look like self-sabotage. And so clearing a lot of that out, I now understand the power of accumulation. And sometimes, yes, we have to declutter, but what I mean by accumulation is looking back at all the work that I've done, understanding how valuable it all is, and embracing all of that. In my earlier years, I would do so much work and not be able to embrace what I've done before I'm rushing off to create the next thing. And so now what I'm doing is I'm looking back and I'm understanding how to value every season of my life and how I can take those things with me. So sure, there'll be times when we have to declutter, but now I'm really thinking more in terms of legacy and how to build a life that sticks, how to build a structure that remains. And it goes back to what we were talking about earlier. Whenever you build it with divine love, it remains. Because love really is, and now we're moving into more like metaphysical, but love is the only principle. Love is a principle.
It
And
is.
when you look at fear and when you look at all of these other things, they're just illusions.
Yes.
But when you build with divine love, it remains.
That is so
And
true.
so that's what I'm doing now.
I love that. And I love what you said about embracing all that you've done, because I feel a lot of times what I've noticed, especially for the women who tend to hustle and bustle and still striving, where there tends to be this checklist mentality of what's the next thing, what's the next thing, and there's not really an honoring or a celebration for who you are and what you've done up until this point. And in living that way, I could see how that begins to build a different way of being, because there's so much more intentionality behind the way that you're showing up. You're not just showing up to check something off a checkbox. You're showing up because you were divinely led to show up.
I mean, it's such a beautiful life. Like, even though I'm in the early stages of this new cycle of my life, it's just such a beautiful life. I mean, I feel like I got it now. You know what I mean? It's like I got it now. I got it now. And so I'm just excited about what's to come.
I want to ask you one more question, and it's about what does it look like to model for your daughter about this divine feminine? Because I think one of the greatest gifts that a woman like yourself can give is not just sharing your brilliance and your wisdom and your genius with the world, but it's you're a mother to a little girl. What is that like for you?
Well, it's definitely, it's rewarding and challenging, as is, parenting anyway, but I think it's really interesting because I get a chance to almost like make our interaction the experiment. So one of the things that I'm experimenting with right now is just this notion that, you know, society makes us believe that we have to have trauma in order to grow,
oh
in
my
order
gosh.
To be strong.
Ugh.
And so one of the things that I'm doing with my relationship with my daughter is just literally loving her, protecting her, and supporting her in what she wants to do. Like, for example, she's a dancer. It's one of her many talents. And what I realize is that when I'm supporting her and showing up for her in that way, and she's pursuing her gift, within the gift itself is everything that she needs in order to develop. She doesn't need to be traumatized or, you know what I mean? Like, go through so much in order to develop. It's when she's in practice, it's when she's on that stage, the fears that she has to face to actually show up 100% in her gift, that's enough to develop her. And so
yes.
As a woman who's doing this kind of work with my daughter, I have the opportunity to not just be there, only just be there for her, but also to experiment certain things and to also model for her. And I think that too is a challenge sometimes, because when it is your own child, sometimes you want to have more control. But what my daughter has taught me is how to just hold space for her and to give her what I have and let her make her own choices. So even at 9 years old, she's pretty sovereign.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, I had a parent-teacher conference last week, and you know, I got a good report. She's a straight A student and she's doing well in class. But to me, like, the best thing was to hear her teacher say that they had a test that week and no one did well on the test. And she said that later on that day, Candace came up to her desk and said, "I really need to talk to you." And she pulled her to the side and she advocated for everyone in the class to retake the test. And the teacher said, "I was really, you know, shocked and proud of how she used her voice." And as a mom who's trying to teach her the divinely feminine way and how to pair that feminine and masculine together, that made me feel so good. Like, oh my gosh, like, it's working. So just like with anything with parenting and motherhood, it's a work in progress. I'm learning as I go. Even though I know all these things, this is my first kid, so I'm giving myself a lot of grace, and I'm just trying to do the very best I can.
Well, it sounds like you're doing one heck of a job if she advocated for an entire classroom at nine. That is so dope. I love that.
Yes.
So do you speak to her in those terms of divine feminine and masculine, or do you more so model a way of being in front of her, or a combination of both?
A combination of both. I mean, she knows like the spiritual practices and things. Like, we do Ho'oponopono.
Yes.
Like, I've shown her how to, you know, do the emotional clearing work.
Yes.
I tell her about high priestesses and the fact that she is one. My daughter is highly intuitive. And again, it's fun to watch. I'm sure, because, you know, her dad and I divorced when she was five. I'm sure she may have some trauma or things to get through, but because we are there for her and we co-parent effectively,
nice.
I feel like she's at a place where she just gets to be who she really is.
That's
And
beautiful.
So I'm sharing all of these different terms with her because I see it in her.
Yeah.
She has the capability to go so much further than me and her dad, because she doesn't have to wade through all the trauma that we had to wade through. So
yeah.
I'm just really trying to maintain that space for her.
Yes, I know what that's like, wanting to create a new baseline for them so that they go further, farther than we ever could have gone.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Well, what is a nugget of wisdom you would like to leave with the listeners? Like, one piece of nugget of wisdom that you feel that they really get to take in for themselves?
Well, I would say it's an unconditional commitment to your path, because that is embracing the feminine. The feminine will take you wherever you need to go in order to become the best version of yourself. And so you have to have that unconditional commitment even when seasons change.
That is so good. Unconditional commitment. That is so good. And the wisdom I'm hearing you saying that is not allowing the circumstances of life to take you off the path.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
Thank you so much for coming here and sharing. I feel like I could talk to you for 3-4 hours about all the things. I wanted to go deep on everything. I'm like, Lord, we can't go deep on everything today. Maybe we have to have
a
back. But I really enjoyed having this conversation with you and being able to be in this side of this connection. It, for me, it just feels like such an honoring, but also acknowledging where I've come in my own journey. I feel when you said stay unconditionally committed to your path, I want to honor myself for doing that, because I'm like, oh my gosh, I feel I've done that. I'm one of her students and I'm here.
Yeah, I mean, I have seen you, like, even though we have not had much connection, I've seen you out there. And yeah, you have been unconditionally committed for sure. For sure. And I want to honor you for that and to tell you congratulations. Great job.
Thank you. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, you have really stayed the course.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you. I'm very grateful to have had women like you to be by my side as a guide. And thank you for sharing everything that you have. And I'm so happy you're back.
Can yes.
I just say that? I figured that's yes. All. Welcome back. Welcome back.
Yeah, it's like, you know, like who is it? Shikari, she says, I'm not back, I'm better. Well,
yes.
For me, I'm back and better.
Yeah.
And
that
so
part.
Yeah, like, just it's a whole new blueprint. And people wanted to know, like, even though I was there, you know, I was still posting on social, still working with clients. I wasn't as visible because I was getting this download. And so I had to remove it myself, at least partially.
Yeah.
And so now it's time for this new upgraded blueprint. So definitely, if people want to work with me directly, especially in person, I am hosting an event, Worthy, Becoming the Love You Deserve, and they can get all the details at worthyandloved.com.
Beautiful, beautiful. And if people want to connect with you on social media, where can they find you?
So on Facebook and YouTube, I'm at The Queen Code. And on Instagram, it's at The Real Queen Code.
Wonderful. Well, thank you again for having this conversation. And I'm quite sure that the listeners are going to be very grateful they got to hear your wisdom.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Thank you for listening to this episode. Please make sure to subscribe, like, share, and leave your review for the podcast. To learn more, go to www.cassandraaustin.com.